did I watch this week? Phantom of the Opera. Watched that for the first time.
Yeah. For the first time, I thought you'd seen that loads.
No, never seen it before.
You're Musical Matthew. You know
that's,
what?
That's what they call me.
That's what they call you, starting from now. you've never been called Musicals Matthew.
I've seen all the other Andrew Lloyd Webber musicals.
All of them?
No, probably not all of them. Because I've seen a lot that I've seen some that people probably don't even know exist.
Yeah.
But like, I've seen many Andrew Lloyd Webber musicals.
Mm.
I don't think I've seen all of them. I have seen that Jeeves and Wooster one that he tried to force to make happen for like a decade.
Jeeves and Wooster.
Then when it eventually got to stage, it did. It got like 2 stars and ran it only for like a month in Blackpool and then ended.
Yeah, there's only the bootleggers of bootleggers.
Yeah, exactly.
Bootlegs even. For that.
It's
filmed on a handy cam. Filmed on a video cassette.
I didn't see his Bad Cinderella one.
Bad Cinderella.
Yeah, the one he planned. He was planning before the pandemic, and then
right,
like,
gotcha. Is it called Bad Cinderella?
Something like that. Yeah.
Okay. Right. Fair. I was like, he's really shot himself in the foot there by saying this is bad.
This is a Bad Cinderella.
This is Bad Cinderella.
Yeah. And. You know, it's kind of like the Cinderella story, apart from she's an alt girl. That's an alt girl. Yeah, yeah. Like she's, you know, listening to emo music or whatever.
I thought you meant she's got like a very, very sort of dodgy YouTube channel.
She's alt right.
Yeah, yeah.
She's alt. Just alt.
She's the Andrew Tate.
She's the non-problematic part of
Cinderella.
That term.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
You can be alt many things.
Yeah, I guess.
But just don't be right.
Alt rock.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
She's in the alt rock subculture.
I think the alt right have ruined the
word
prefix alt.
Yeah.
Alt. Yeah, for me.
Which sucks because you want to have more than one World of Warcraft character.
That's a reference I don't get, but I understand.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's probably most people.
I get the context, yeah.
So watched Phantom of the Opera, and let me tell you, Tom, she's fine, isn't it?
Wow, it's been such a middling week. We're trying to think of things like last week you had a bit.
Yep.
For once.
I had a bit for once. I brought one to the table. I was like, here's something I've been thinking about.
And now this week, the bit is we don't have a bit. So you're saying you've got the hottest take
the
on
hot
Phantom
take
of the Opera.
On the 30-year-old musical.
It's a hot take. In the form of a slow cooker.
Yep. Yeah,
because when did it come out, Phantom of the Opera?
I don't know. Probably sometime in the '80s.
Yeah.
Because it was Casio keyboard territory.
Okay, right.
Because you can tell. If you listen to the music of here's the thing.
Yeah.
If you listen to the music of any Andrew Lloyd Webber musical, you can kind of tell what it was created on.
Oh yeah.
Because he hasn't gone to any length to sort of like orchestralize anything.
No.
Most things like
some guy going
you know, Jesus Christ Superstar is like all, it's a prog rock band who do it, right? And it's got a full orchestra in the background and stuff. It's cool, right?
Yeah.
And then Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat is like, someone showed him the demo button on the Casio keyboard, and she's like, "Oh, there's all different genres and things. Then is that are there?
Yeah.
Yes, there's all different. It can do bongos, can it? And yeah, so you know."
So now he's just doing genres.
Yeah.
There is an entire song. I've never seen it, but I've been told there's an entire song in Phantom of the Opera that is just DJ sounds.
Yeah.
DJ!
Yeah. Dictionary. Dictionary.
Okay.
Okay.
Come on! That one.
I remember, come on! Yeah. I do. I remember, come on! Yeah.
I mean, you could probably listen to the last time you used a Yamaha keyboard in one of our earlier episodes.
Yes, yeah, that's true.
100 and something, maybe? Yeah, maybe. I can't remember.
The only music... No, the one of two musical episodes we've ever done.
Yes, the first appearance of Jennifer Not That One Garner, yeah, I believe. Yeah, exactly. Where we used a Yamaha keyboard.
It's not a good... episode of the Larger Pitch podcast.
It is not.
It's not a good comedy thing.
No.
It's just some friends mucking about on a keyboard.
That's the joke for nearly an hour.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's some friends mucking about on a keyboard.
If you love long-running jokes that get really tired after about 5 minutes...
Yeah. Go listen to that.
And also a song about a pod race as well, played on a Yamaha keyboard.
Yeah.
You can go listen to that. I can't remember what number it was.
Pod racer. Pod racer. I'm a pod racer. Yeah, I remember it.
Yep.
I remember that song. It's a catchy one.
It sounds a bit like a 3-beat slide.
A little bit, yeah.
When you sing it like that.
Yeah.
YouTube 3-beat slide. You will not be disappointed.
But yeah, Phantom of the Opera. It's got, you know, you think about Phantom of the Opera, you think... big
the
organ.
Dracula song.
Yeah, yeah, that sort of thing,
Dracula,
right?
Theme.
And just that crazy, cool, big organ sound.
Mm.
What you forget is that in the background there's a kind of Forever Autumn-esque...
Forever Autumn. The not the one from the Jeff Wayne War of the Worlds, but the Lego advert he did.
I haven't listened to it in Forever Autumn.
Oh yeah. I'm going deep lore War of the Worlds musical.
Yeah. We watched the anniversary version of it. It must have been like the 20th anniversary, 25th anniversary, yeah, or something.
Is this the one with Antonio Banderas in?
No.
There ever been a version of Antonio Banderas in, or did I dream that?
I couldn't tell you because I've seen exactly one version and it did not have it didn't have anyone that I knew in it.
What was that Antonio Banderas video I watched then?
Well, I did kind of bulk at, and this is my fault probably for having expectations of being able to just watch a musical on its own. But I'd foolishly been given by Jenny Not That One Garner the 25th anniversary version.
Mm.
Which means it's on a big stage, loads of screens and stuff.
Right.
There's a bit where she's looking in the mirror, and it's like a big pixelated screen in front of her. Because it's like a massive stage, loads and loads of crowd, it should be arena. And so they needed to be able to see what was going on over there.
Oh yeah, like the holographic Liam Neeson.
Yeah,
The War of the Worlds.
Exactly.
One.
So
YouTube it. It's incredible.
Yeah, Liam Neeson.
This is just the YouTube recommendations.
Talks over. Scenes. Specifically YouTube recommendations for musicals.
Yeah.
So go and watch the Khan. A Star Trek parody musical on YouTube. They did a Philly Fringe version, I think. While we're doing recommendations.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're doing that, and then I get to the end of this show, and I'm like, all right, well, that was okay.
Mm.
I've had enough of it now.
Yeah.
There's big incel energy all the way through it. It's got the sort of energy where, like...
So Phantom of the Opera has big incel energy.
Yeah.
He's doing an alt-right Cinderella.
Yep.
Actually, no. Thinking about who Andrew Lloyd Webber is as a person, I'm just like, that's bang
tracks,
on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man does not understand social...
Put him next to
society.
A picture of the Grinch.
Yep.
And you'll not be able to tell the difference between those two pictures.
But don't put those two pictures near me, because I do not want to see Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Or the Grinch. No, you want to see the Grinch.
I love seeing the Grinch.
Yeah, yeah.
Send
Andrew
me
Lloyd
photos
Webber,
of the Grinch.
Send me photos.
Send me photos of the Grinch!
Yeah, Andrew Lloyd Webber appears.
No!
With photos of the Grinch. He's been taking photos of the Grinch.
For years.
He's the only one that can.
Curious.
No one ever strings it together.
Let's not think about that.
Yeah.
They're just friends.
He's friends with the Grinch. Yeah.
But yeah, we get to the end of this thing, and I'm like, all right, well, I'm sort of done with that. I'm done with the incel energy.
Yeah.
The show ends in a pretty unsatisfying way, which is just like, you know, the Phantom gets a kiss and then runs off. Letting
my God, that is incel energy.
Yeah,
you're right.
It runs off into never to be seen again or whatever. it's just nothing.
Yeah.
Then after that, out comes like for a further like half an hour is just people saying how good Phantom of the Opera is, because it's the 25th anniversary.
Oh, wow.
And then there's like...
half an hour.
Yeah. And it's like, and here he is, Andrew Lloyd Webber. Out he comes. And then we're like, fucking skip, 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 skip. And then like, you know, they start singing one of the songs from it.
He comes on stage. Do, 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 do. Do, do, do.
"Twas I! The Phantom of the Opera!"
It's like, wait, why is he coming onto the Grinch theme? This is like the time Peter Parker turned up to the Spider-Man theme.
Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Mr. Webber.
And then fucking, like, Mr. Webber. You got to say Lloyd Webber. That's his surname. He's not Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Like, you can't fit into the Mr. Grinch beat as you've demonstrated.
Yeah, it doesn't scan.
Yeah.
Which is the best disguise of all, I think.
Yeah, exactly. You can't fit his full name into the Grinch theme. Yeah.
Yeah, like, we're just like skip. They're just singing a song from the show we've just seen.
Mm.
Just from a different person
who
used to play the Phantom or whatever.
Right.
And then...
I can imagine that's got sentimental value to people who like the stage
show.
They've
just seen the stage show. They're sat there in that arena having already seen the entire musical.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know what people want? That, but again.
Yeah. That is like, and this is the only comparison I could come up with, watching the film Solo for a thing at the cinema with a stage, and then at the end, Harrison Ford coming on and doing a scene from Solo.
Yeah, just talking to that big puppet.
Yeah, yeah.
Talking to that big long neck puppet.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's
that he smashes the window.
And
to
then
let
running
the light
around
in.
Like an old man.
Yeah.
Like he does in Indiana Jones. Going back to your Casio keyboard thing, I did remember something from last week, actually.
Yeah.
So I was at a party down on London Road, and there's Budgeons on London Road.
There is, yeah.
We went in there to get some extra drinks and snacks and whatnot. And the whole time we were in there, the first maybe bar to two bars of Mozart's Für Elise was playing.
Okay.
On a like a sort of MIDI kind of.
Okay. Really?
Yeah, yeah. My friend who I was around with said to me, like, as we were sort of going up to the counter, we picked all our stuff, he was like, God, I came in here about 4 hours ago and that was still going.
Oh, that's like waterboarding for
the guy on the counter was sat right next to this, the source of this noise. We couldn't see the source of this noise. And like he was smacking you'd get your stuff on the counter.
Yeah.
He was just like scanning it and just smashing it on the counter. Like, we think, because that Budgeons also is like an Amazon delivery thing, someone's package had gone off.
Oh, no.
So legally, he could not switch this off because it was inside someone's baggage. And he couldn't take it away because someone might pick it up. So imagine being stuck.
It's waterboarding for the ears.
Imagine being stuck in that situation. Because you don't... One, it's an annoying MIDI tune.
Yeah.
Two, you never get the satisfaction of the song carrying beyond that. Yeah. I reckon he went home and put that song, that piece of music on.
Yeah.
Just to sort of listen to the whole thing.
Yeah, but he's like, but it's not MIDI.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't find a good MIDI version.
You know, just to sort of... unwind that like ball of string in your mind. I know, yeah. I felt so bad.
Poor guy. Oh boy.
Like, I was going mad and I was in there for tops 2 minutes. It was so annoying.
Yeah.
We're pitching some fairy tale movies.
Kingdom Hearts.
Darkness.
The Heartless.
No. Okay. We cannot.
All right, yeah, carry on.
So, like, think of your Snow White, mm-hmm. your Seven Dwarves.
Yes.
The sequel movie.
The movie, yeah.
They got rid of Snow White and we're just like, let's have a movie by ourselves.
Just about those guys.
Yeah. You've got your Cinderella.
Mm-hmm. Your Tangled.
Tangled, yeah.
But outside of Disney.
The Little Mermaid. That's inside Disney.
Yeah. Outside Disney.
The Dark Crystal. Labyrinth.
Mm-hmm.
Pan's Labyrinth.
Neverending Story.
Oh, yeah.
There's a whole number of them, isn't there? Mm. All number of fairy tale type things. I'm trying to think of the ones that they reference in The Page Master. And when they go to the fantasy land, but it's just he just sort of runs away from a dragon for the most of that.
Yeah. I was thinking like Moby Dick. That's a fairy tale.
No, that's in the adventure
that's
section.
That's in the
Tom.
Adventure section. You're right.
Gah.
Yeah.
How can you not remember the Page Master?
I can barely remember the Page Master.
You need to refresh your knowledge.
I remember Macaulay Culkin riding over a ramp.
Yep, that's the main part. Yeah.
That's it.
It's the most action-packed scene.
I remember Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah, Leonard Nimoy.
Does he voice the Page Master?
No.
He's horror,
it's Christopher Lloyd that voices the Page Master.
Right.
And also the librarian.
Yeah.
Leonard Nimoy is...
Horror, right?
No. Leonard Nimoy is... Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Who's Horror then?
Horror, I can't remember. It's like a cartoon voice actor.
Because I know it's Patrick Stewart and Whoopi Goldberg.
Adventure. Whoopi Goldberg is fantasy.
Yeah, enough about the Page Master, though.
Got way off topic.
Yeah, you tricked me into talking about the Page Master.
Gotcha.
I feel like I've been swindled.
I've got you. I came up with my little shack on wheels.
Yeah,
and you thought you were getting a cure for your acne.
Yeah,
but actually, what you got was a conversation about the Page Master.
Page Master oil salesman
that now is certainly going into the later scenes.
Oh yeah, definitely. Once again, Matt tricking me into talking about the Page Master, a film that no one outside of us two, I believe, has ever seen.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's true. Yeah, people talk about like My Girl, and stuff like that, and I'm like, yeah, those are.
Macaulay Culkin movies.
Macaulay Culkin movies.
Post Home Alone Macaulay Culkin movies.
But no, Page Master's the one.
Yeah.
That I care about. Richie Rich and Page Master.
Oh yeah, Richie Rich as well, yeah. The best movie ever made. We are so off topic.
We're so off topic.
Yeah. We're here to pitch Macaulay Culkin movies.
We should do specials. Special Macaulay Culkin movies.
There should be a poll of just actors with no explanation on our Patreon.
Yeah.
And then we're just like, we're pitching movies for Macaulay Culkin.
It's specifically. Yeah. Oh, we choose four people who haven't acted in a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And try to cram them back in into like mainstream Hollywood movies.
Yeah, yeah. Yes.
A career Kickstarter pack.
Or a career ender packs. For we do one for people who haven't acted in movies a lot, and then we've got another poll for people who've been in lots of movies recently. Yeah. We're just like, we're going to end your career.
You're going to end your career by blasting you into space and then not having any way of getting you back.
That'd be a good, two episodes thing to do.
Good two episode Chris Pratt special, wouldn't it?
Oh well, Chris Pratt's already done his career ending movies.
That's true. Yeah,
I'm thinking more like your Timothy Chalamet's.
Oh, people we would like to see the end of their career.
Yeah. Fairy tale movie.
Fairy tale movie.
Fairy tale movie.
Yeah. Do you want to hear the story about of old Rink Rank, Tom?
Oh. Do you know it?
I know it.
Oh, right. Okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Old Rink Rank is about the king's daughter, a princess.
Yeah.
The king has a glass mountain made. Just because he wanted it, I guess.
Yeah, like the Louvre.
Yeah, exactly. and then he says that anyone who can reach the top of the glass mountain... can marry his daughter.
Right.
She's in love with one of the people who wants to try. Mm. So she tries to help him get up to the top of the glass mountain.
Yeah.
But falls, and the mountain opens up and swallows him. swallows her. She falls into the caverns below the glass mountain. There, she is captured by old Rink Rank.
Oh, what? What?
Is a guy.
I'm imagining, right, when she falls into the mountain, mm-hmm. the mountain opens up,
yep.
and she falls in.
Yep.
I'm imagining the king going to the architect who built this glass mountain, like, I never said it should open up.
Yeah, well, that's why he shouldn't have hired old Rink Rank to be the architect.
Right.
I mean, that's what I think, anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think that's part of the story.
Did old Rink Rank build the...
That's my headcanon, Tom.
Yeah.
Anyway...
It's never explained
old
why.
Old Rink Rank says, you can either die...
Yeah.
To the princess. You can either die, or you can wash my pots and pans and serve me in my house at the bottom of this cavern in the mountain.
What
and
a
then
story.
She's like, all right, fine. She does that for a bit. And then every day, old Rink Rank, right, gets his one ladder, right, climbs to the top of the mountain with the ladder, and just comes back with gold and silver to add to his hoard.
What?
She, one day when he's out, she closes all the doors and windows of the house.
Of the house underneath the glass mountain.
Except for one little window,
yeah.
right? And when he comes back and he can't get in, he's like, what are you doing? She's like, I'm not opening up. Right. And when he puts his head through the little window to see what she's up to, see what she's what conniving plan she's got, she slams the window shut on his beard, and so he can't get out. And traps him, meaning that she can go and get his. She can open the other ones, and she can go and get his ladder and climb herself to the top of to the top of the mountain. Right, going home to her. Betrothed and her father, who condemns old Rink Rank to death and takes all his gold and silver.
I don't think we need to do any editing to
No. Who's playing old Rink Rank? Willem Dafoe?
I was thinking like John Lithgow or something, or
nah, I prefer Willem
Jim
Dafoe.
Broadbent.
Would work.
Yeah,
he can be scary at times.
Yeah, he can be scary.
I think we want someone who can be scary for old Rink Rank.
Maybe Willem Dafoe, actually.
Is Tom?
Yeah.
Is 10 Cloverfield Lane an old Rink Rank story?
Oh my god, maybe. There's a weird amount of parallels between old Rink Rank and 10 Cloverfield Lane.
There is.
That is odd. The more I think about it, it's like, oh yeah, she was gonna get married before she yep. fell in the fallout shelter.
Yep, and
John
and
Goodman. John Goodman.
She traps him in his own house.
Yeah.
With his own devices.
Yeah.
He's like, you can basically either die or do chores and be my daughter.
Yeah. That is weird. Yeah.
So ring rang.
That's, you just need another guy.
Yeah.
Who he kills.
Yeah. Yeah. To raise the stakes.
Yeah. That is bananas. Old Ring Rank. We've gotten on to Dan Trachtenberg's thing. He's just reading Grimm's Fairy Tales.
And then converting them to alien movies.
Yeah. Wow. Well, he's already done it for us.
Yes. Yeah, we don't need to.
We don't need to. But thank you, Phil Walters, for giving us Old Ring Rank. a Grimm Fairy Tale. That is a pleasure.
It is. I mean, it's. I am sure, you know, like, you've got to assume that because there's just a man living in a mountain collecting gold and silver, that it was probably at one point an anti-Semitic trope.
Yeah, probably. But, yeah, thinking about that.
A lot like, you know, dwarves in Tolkien and things.
Yeah.
It's pretty, like, if you boil it down, they're all pretty anti-Semitic, historically.
Yeah.
But, you know, well done, Dan Trachtenberg, for just making it that John Goodman's a weird guy.
I was talking about that movie. Funnily enough, off the back of Damsel, because I watched the first hour and a half of Damsel.
Yeah, you couldn't make it through?
We couldn't make it through.
Yeah. No,
it was... The problem I have with it is there was no humour at all.
It was just all terse girl power.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, it was like, you know when you're playing one of the new Tomb Raider games?
Yeah.
And you fail and she dies horrifically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Every scene was like that.
Jeez. That's quite depressing.
It was so depressing. I think the only bit of levity it gave me was watching Ray Winston.
Yeah.
Clearly having no clue where he was. Somehow managing, you know how he does, like, if he does an accent, he just cannot do an accent. Yeah. Somehow managing to fail to do an East London accent.
What?
Yeah. I don't know what kind of accent he was trying to do,
yeah.
But now I've seen him try to do Bostonian in The Departed,
yeah.
And Russian in Black Widow. I'm just sort of like, I don't
know what you talk like.
Yeah, yeah, I don't.
Yeah,
I thought I knew what Ray Winston talked like, and now I can't understand a word he's saying. And like.
And you've heard him do Cat in Cats,
yeah.
As well, so
but I've not heard that.
Well, I've heard him do Cat in Cats.
Yeah, like, and I brought up 10 Cloverfield Lane because that is a very similar to Damsel in the fact that there's this woman trapped with this dragon, essentially, and there is bits of humour in there.
Yeah,
like it's great.
It's dark humour, but it's humour.
It's dark humour. It's like a build-up of tension and just like a nice little release of tension every now and then. With Damsel, Netflix, available on Netflix now, would not recommend.
No.
There's just nothing there. Like, if you've seen the trailer, right, they tease this dragon-sacrificing cult thing.
Which you've seen in the trailer.
And there's just, like, there's basically no... I thought there would be something else. I thought there'd be something else. Like, the dragon wasn't liking it at all.
Yeah.
And the dragon had kept the princesses or whatever.
Yeah.
And...
there'd be a twist. And I think everyone I've spoken to in this, who's watched this movie, is like... I was really expecting a twist from the thing that was in the trailer, and it turned out that the twist was just in the trailer.
Yeah,
they thought there was a twist, but it was in the trailer.
It's basically just a film going, look how bad this trope is.
Yeah,
Yeah. That's the whole movie.
She's kind of just boring.
Yeah, it's really boring.
Yeah.
It's like a twist on that trope, and it's like, oh my God, we can make it exciting. It's like, yeah, it's just not.
Yeah.
It's just really bad. But yeah. Like,
I guess, yeah. I guess it's just, it's one of those things where, like, Hollywood's, I say Hollywood like it's a monolith, like,
it
executives
is.
Have cottoned on to the fact that people like diversity and like progressive like angles to storytelling, right?
Subverting expectations.
Sure, yeah, subverting the old school tropes, right?
Yeah,
and because you know producers are doing it,
mm.
like they just don't know.
Yeah,
you know, like. They don't know what is or isn't subversive.
Mm.
They don't know what's like a new, a fresh new take, and what's just like by paint by numbers, like Spice Girls, girl power, like
yeah.
Stuff. Not, I didn't mean to sound disparaging of the Spice Girls. There, it's a very important art.
Yeah.
But the yeah, like I guess it's just that one of those things where like, it's like Velma.
I've not... I have heard of stuff.
Yeah, like, Velma is just, like, this, like, really not funny.
Yeah.
Really not making any, like, good points.
Yeah.
Just hit you over the head with it, like... there's nothing new there.
Yeah.
It's not funny. It's about as funny as the worst episodes of Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
And they are not funny at all.
Oh, no.
Just, you know, there's a lot of that, so that, that happened, but it just has, like, also has a kind of, like...
that just happened.
That just happened, and men are trash, and it's just
yeah.
Well, sure, it's not a good joke, it's...
You need to add something more.
You have to be funny!
Yeah.
You have to do a cartoon, you have to be funny!
You cannot get away with...
AI-generated subversive humour.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just you've just got to make good media. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No matter what your intent is.
Yeah. And yeah. Well.
And I believe it's to make money.
That's just the plot. I did not get into how the whole thing looks like it's shot on the Unreal Engine.
Probably is.
Well, not.
Dragon's Dogma 2 has just come out. Maybe they just borrowed.
Maybe. But it's not like sort of Mandalorian like Unreal like the. Tip top.
Yeah.
This looks like Unreal Engine 4. Like
yeah.
Gears of War. Shit. Going off in the background.
Nice.
I mean, there are some actual sets and stuff which are nice.
Yeah.
My God, the rest of it just looks like a fucking...
I'm so sad about Prestige TV.
Yeah, it's not Prestige TV.
It's not anymore.
It's just another bit of content for the content minds.
Yeah, I'm just sad about like yeah. the state of the TV industry.
Yeah,
it depresses me because like all the ones that were like, hey, we want to make good
yeah.
art. Like
yeah.
we want to build sets and props and stuff.
Mm.
All of it just gets cancelled because it's like too expensive.
Yeah, too expensive. Takes a long time to make.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want more Age of Resistance. Give me some more Dark Crystal.
Yeah.
Hello, just want to say thank you for listening to the Life's a Pitch deleted scenes.
We hope you've enjoyed it. If you have, maybe consider sharing it with your friends on social media, by word of mouth, anywhere really. Maybe put it onto a thumb drive and just throw it at someone. And maybe even reviewing it on wherever you got it. If you find it somewhere on iTunes or Acast or wherever, maybe review it there. 5 stars, thumbs up, give everyone the heads up.
Like I said before, thank you. Cheers.
Right.
Bye.